All right, number 11. This is group number 2 on the quiz. I'm sorry, not 11, number 8. Which of the following have occurred or will occur as a result of a recent federal legislation? So which of the following have occurred or will occur as a result of recent federal legislation? Letter A, enhanced review process for gun buyers under age 21. B, reduced financial impact to patients who receive surprise out-of-network medical bills. C, decreased provider documentation, requirements for Medicare reimbursement, and D, all the above. So which of the following have occurred as a result of recent federal legislation? Enhanced review process for gun buyers, reduced financial impact to patients who receive surprise out-of-network medical bills, decreased provider documentation, requirements for Medicare, can't imagine that, or all the above. Number 9. So 8 seems like a weird question, because I don't remember hearing anything about gun buyers. Number 9, which statement about treating opioid use disorder is correct? OUD, opioid use disorder. Letter A, relapse rate when OUD is treated with abstinence alone is 50% at 12 months. Letter B, an X waiver is no longer needed to prescribe buprenorphine for OUD. Letter C, medication-assisted treatment of OUD reduces mortality. Letter D, buprenorphine should not be started in patients still using opioid agonists. Number 10, which statement about incidentally discovered adrenomasses is correct, or incidentalomas? Letter A, most adrenal cancers are greater than or equal to 4 centimeters when detected. Letter B, most adrenal incidentalomas are hormonally active. Letter C, the most common hormonally active adrenal incidentaloma produces aldosterone. Letter D, subclinical Cushing's does not impact long-term health. Number 11, which statement about real-world contraceptive effectiveness is not correct? Letter A, vasectomy and tubal ligation are the most effective methods. B, prescribing a 12-month supply of oral contraceptives improves effectiveness. So this is which one is not correct. C, subdermal arm implants are more effective than intrauterine devices. And D, contraceptive patches are less effective in obese patients. I'm kind of thinking it's A. I don't think vasectomy and tubal ligation are the most effective methods. We'll check that out, though. Number 12, which of the following patients is most likely to benefit from perioperative use of aspirin? A, patient chronically taking aspirin for primary prevention of heart disease. B, patient with heart disease who isn't taking aspirin. C, patient undergoing surgery with low risk for bleeding. And D, patient with a coronary stent. So again, the options are A, patient chronically taking aspirin for primary prevention of heart disease. B, patient with heart disease who isn't taking aspirin. C, patient undergoing surgery with low risk of bleeding. And D, patient with a coronary stent. So 13, which statement about weight-lowering medications is correct? A, they are more effective than lifestyle modification at reducing diabetes. B, some have been recommended by the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force. Letter C, they have not been shown to reduce cardiovascular complications. D, they should be used for at least 6 months before assessing efficacy. So again, that's weight-lowering medications. A, they are more effective than lifestyle modification at reducing diabetes. B, some have been recommended by the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force. C, they have not been shown to reduce cardiovascular complications. D, they should be used for at least 6 months before assessing efficacy. That's weight-lowering medications. Number 14, for hospitalized patients, which intervention has been shown to improve clinical outcomes if done earlier versus later or not done? A, antibiotics for aspiration pneumonitis. B, venous catheter removal in catheter-associated upper extremity DVT. So which has been shown to improve clinical outcomes if done earlier? C, feeding in mild to moderate acute pancreatitis. And that's true. And then D is all of the above. So I'm not sure about A and B, but C is true. 15, zoster vaccine, Shingrix, is recommended for all adults over 50 years. Except in those in which of the following conditions. So a zoster vaccine is recommended for all adults over age 50, except for those with which of the following conditions. A, prior episode of zoster. B, prior chickenpox vaccination. C, prior vaccination with live zoster vaccine. And D, none of the above. I'm kind of thinking none of the above. We'll just do 3 more. 16, which statement about Mycoplasma genitalium is not correct? Letter A, it is a common cause of non-gynecological urethritis. B, doxycycline is an effective treatment. C, it can cause pelvic inflammatory disease. And D, an FDA-approved test is available. So again, which statement about mycoplasma genitalium is not correct, not correct, not correct, is a common cause of non-gonococcal urethritis. Doxycycline is an effective treatment. It can cause pelvic inflammatory disease. And D, is an FDA-approved test is available. Number 17, which statement about ritonavir boosted nirmatrelvir or Paxlovid is correct? A, it is associated with many drug interactions. B, it has not been studied in patients under 50. C, it is ineffective and started if started more than 3 days after symptom onset. And D, it is contraindicated in pregnancy. So I think C and D are incorrect. And I'm almost sure the answer on that one is B. We can try to look that up, though, but I know it's indicated for like 12 years old and up. Number 18, in patients with cirrhosis and portal hypertension, which intervention is most appropriate? So cirrhosis and portal hypertension. A, proton pump inhibitor for primary prevention of GI hemorrhage. B, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory for mild to moderate pain. C, curvidilo in patient with varices but without ascites. And D, propranolol in patient in both varices and ascites. All right, so again, that's patients with cirrhosis and portal hypertension. Which intervention is most appropriate? Proton pump inhibitor for primary prevention of GI hemorrhage. That's A. B, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory for pain. C, carvedilol, patient with varices but without ascites. And D is propranolol, patient with both varices and ascites. All right, so that's group number 2. I think we just got one more group to go from 19 to 27. Thanks.